Welcome. Gospel Harvest International is the evangelistic ministry of Itumeleng and Lindy Mokganye. This ministry is devoted to winning souls and igniting the church to do likewise. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
We're continuing with the series, How to Pray. Teach us how to pray. And in this third part, I want to look at praying in the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus is our mediator. He is our intercessor, our advocate, and our Lord. He stands between us and the Father. No place in the Bible is it ever recorded that Jesus told his disciples to pray to him. They were always to pray to the Father in his name. If we wish to be sure of reaching the throne of God with our prayers, we must come to God according to the rules that have been laid down in his word. In John 16, verse 23 to 24, listen to what the Bible says. In that day, Jesus says, "You shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Notice, Jesus said, "In that day, you shall ask me nothing." Jesus said this just before he died and rose again to sit at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. Jesus also said, "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you," in John 16, 23. Jesus was talking about his mediatorial position at the right hand of the Father, where he would soon ascend and be seated, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Another translation of John 16, 23 reads, "In that day you shall not pray to me." Jesus said we are to ask the Father in his name. There isn't any other way to approach God. Certainly we can worship Jesus, and worship is a type of prayer. We can tell Jesus how much we love and appreciate him. But when it comes to praying and asking, we must ask the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 and 15 also tell us that for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We are to bow our knees to our Heavenly Father in prayer using the name of Jesus. It's not as important which church you belong to as it is which family you belong to. Praise God, believers are in the family of God. We can approach the Father God in prayer in the name of Jesus. Many people know about praying to God, but they don't know anything about praying to the Father. In other words, when they're praying, they don't sound as if they really know God as Father. He's God to the world, but he's Father to you and I. There's a real joy in knowing that the Father will answer our prayers. Ask that your joy may be full. Smith Wigglesworth once told of an incident which happened when he first started preaching. His wife was really the preacher, and he was the plumber. In fact, Wigglesworth put plumbing in many of the houses in England, which in that day had never had plumbing. Wigglesworth said that one day he was working installing plumbing in a certain home for people of some nobility. He noticed the lady of the house would come time after time to the door where he was working and standing looking at him. She would look, then go away and come back and look again. He couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. After a while, he needed more material, so he sent his apprentice back to the shop to get it. And when the helper left, the woman came into the room where Wigglesworth was working and shut the door. He couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. She finally asked him, "What is the wonderful light that's on your face?" At this time, Wigglesworth was a plumber. It wasn't until later that he became a preacher. Wigglesworth was full of light because he was full of joy. You don't have to be a preacher to be full of joy. The word will work for you, whoever you are. Wigglesworth proceeded to tell the woman an incident that occurred at breakfast that morning. He said that when he had come down for breakfast that morning, he sat down at the table and his wife told him that two of their children were sick and not even able to get out of bed. The illness had come upon them during the night. Before Wigglesworth even gave thanks for the food, he got up from the table, went upstairs with his wife. They laid hands on the two children and prayed. The children were both instantly healed. They had contracted a children's sickness that usually lasted for several days, but it left them instantly when Wigglesworth and his wife had prayed the prayer of faith. You see, we make the mistake by accepting sickness and adverse circumstances in our lives. And we know what the Bible says in John 10:10. It says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We make a mistake of accepting such things which are not from God. So Wigglesworth's joy was full, and that joy was evident to those who were around him. God had healed his children and had answered his prayer. The children had gotten out of bed and had come for breakfast healed. That was the reason this wonderful light was now on Wigglesworth's face. There's a joy that comes when you get answers to prayer. That's why Jesus said, "Pray so that your joy may be filled." But if you're not getting answers to prayer, if you're not getting results, then there can be a look of perplexity and trouble on your countenance. There is an air of doubt, perplexity, fear, and confusion about you. You have the attitude, "I'm uncertain, I don't know." But you can know God hears when you pray according to His word. And your joy may be full even before you see the answer, because you're resting not on yourself, but on the integrity of God's word. There's no joy in all the world like seeing God moving in your family and in your home, answering your prayers. In John 16:23, Jesus was talking about individual prayer, not corporate prayer. He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask," Jesus is talking about something that concerns you, something that matters to you. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive." When you receive, your joy may be full. John 16:24. This woman asked Wigglesworth if she could have that type of joy too. He told her that she could, but she would first have to get saved. She wanted to get saved and know Jesus. She said they had a prayer book in the house. That's what he said. And that they'd known anything about the new birth. So Wigglesworth led the woman into prayer, and suddenly her whole countenance changed. She asked Wigglesworth if she would be able to keep this new joy and have it every day, and he assured her that she could, but that the best way to keep it is to give it away. He told everyone to tell everyone that she came into contact with about her salvation. Wigglesworth had been working there long enough to know that she had many lady friends in social clubs. She was a woman of wealth. He had told her that at the club meeting she was to have that afternoon, she would tell all the women present about what had happened to her. The reason many Christians live stagnant lives is that there's no giving away. It's constant receiving, 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 and an expectation of what they shall receive. Many Christians do not share what they've received from the Lord with others. Many Christians can increase their joy by witnessing about the Lord's goodness in their lives. There's no joy in all the world like leading a poor soul, lost soul, to Christ. So if you're not doing that, remember, the way to keep your joy is to give it away. The way to keep anything in this kingdom is simply by giving it away. Jesus wants our joy to be full or to be complete. We know that one way to ensure continual joy is to give our joy away. And Jesus also told us in John 16 that we could have fullness of joy by asking the Father in Jesus' name and by receiving whatsoever we ask for in prayer. On one other occasion, I was reading about Smith Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth was telling about a time in his life when he was facing dire financial needs. He was visiting in London in the home of a very wealthy man. As the story goes, Wigglesworth had even hinted of his financial needs, that wealthy man wouldn't have even wasted any time, but would have made sure that he received exactly what he needed. But Wigglesworth didn't tell anyone about his need except the Lord. As Wigglesworth and the wealthy man were walking in the park, Wigglesworth was happy and singing because he had cast all his care and burden upon the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. You know, there's really something for us to learn in these old men of God. They had this childlike dependency and trust in the Lord. That's why, even though he was facing a lot of pressure and need, he was able to have joy in his heart. Therefore, Wigglesworth didn't have a single care. The wealthy man wasn't in the same happy mood. He told Wigglesworth that he would give all he owned just to have the spirit of joy that Wigglesworth had. Wigglesworth told him that joy wouldn't cost him anything. All he had to do was cast all his cares on Jesus. Wigglesworth told the man that he himself didn't have a single care in the world, although at that very moment, Wigglesworth was in great financial need. But Wigglesworth didn't tell the man he had needs because Wigglesworth had cast his cares upon the Lord. Now the Lord had Wigglesworth's burden, and Wigglesworth was free and happy. If he would even hinted to his friend that he had some kind of need, the man would have helped him, but Wigglesworth didn't mention it. Many times I've been around people that have great financial needs but didn't reveal it in any way. Or I've been around people and I'm really under pressure, and I just smiled because I was happy and free. I'd cast all my cares upon the Lord, upon God's word, because God's word is true. You see, when we worry, we block God's answers to our prayers. Our text says, "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." John 16, verse 24. God wants us to receive answers to our prayers and be full of joy. How can we be full of joy and victory when the circumstances look dark and we have needs in our lives? We are full of joy because we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that whatever we ask of the Father, according to his word, he will give it to us, and that our joy will indeed be very full. John 16, 23 and 24. Could your joy be full if you had great financial burdens pressing on you? If you had bills to be paid and you couldn't pay them? No, your joy couldn't be full. However, once you've asked the Father to meet your need in faith and are standing upon his promise to answer those prayers, sometimes you need to have joy before you ever see the money coming in that you asked for. You have to be just as joyful before you see the answer as you are once the answer materializes. You'll block or hinder God from helping you if you're worrying and trying to figure out the answer of how it's all going to happen. If you're trying to figure things out, then you have the care or burden of the problem. And that means God doesn't have it. You're still carrying that load and God can't help you. We need to realize this fact. It does very little good, if any, to pray if you're going to continue to worry and fret and wrestle with the problem yourself. You might as well say amen, because it is so. Worry can hinder you from receiving answers to your prayers. Worry can stop God from being able to move on your behalf. We need to learn to thank God. Prayer means that we ask and we know that we receive, and that our joy may be full. That's why the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. That if we ask anything according to his will, we are sure that he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Why? Because we've asked according to his will. And it takes it a step further. Because we know that he hears us, we know that we have the things that we've asked of him. So we need to really follow this biblical pattern in our prayers. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice here that Paul tells us that we are to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us our thanks are to be given to the Father. In all our real praise and thanksgiving, the name of Jesus is our access to the heart of the Father. When you wish to get an answer to prayer, follow the teachings of the word. Someone says that it doesn't make much of a difference how you pray. That's not true. If that was the case, why would the Holy Spirit inspire the Lord Jesus Christ, inspire Paul to write epistles where we're clearly told how to pray? To say that these verses about the scriptural way of praying aren't important is just as much to blow away other portions of scripture that are well accepted to be fundamental truths of the gospel. In Jesus' name is not the same as for Jesus' sake. Many people have the habit of concluding their prayers by saying, for Jesus' sake, as if it makes their prayers more holy and more prone to be answered by the Father. But we are not to pray that way. There's a difference between praying in the name of Jesus and praying for the sake of Jesus. We are to pray in the name of Jesus. What's the difference? Well, there's quite a difference. When you go to God and you ask Him to do something for Jesus' sake, you're asking that it be done to help Jesus on your credit. But can't you see how foolish that sounds? In the first place, Jesus doesn't need the help. And in the second place, you don't have any credit to guarantee the answer to the prayer if He did. No, it's the other way around. We are the ones that need the help. You see, we are the ones that need God's help. If I need 100 rand and I ask the Father to help me to get this money for Jesus' sake, I'd be praying quite foolishly because Jesus does not need the 100 rand. The money is for my sake, not His. Jesus doesn't need 100 rand. I do. I need the 100 rand to help me. So it's for my sake, on Jesus' credit. Do you see how it works? So don't confuse the two. So if you've gone into the habit of praying for Jesus' sake, you need to stop. You don't get your prayers answered because you're good as well. You get your prayers answered because of Jesus, because of what He's done. When we come to the Father in the name of Jesus, we're saying, Father, we have the right to approach You because Jesus paid the price as You had purposed. Jesus' name is the ultimate key. Notice in John 16, verse 23, it says, in that day you shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Jesus gave us the right and the authority to use His name in prayer. He gave us the authority to use His name. He gave it to us, and now we have that right. And He says, with that right, you can now use My name. When you go into your car, you have a key that unlocks the door. You say that you unlock the door, but really, it's the key that does it. You also have a key that fits the ignition or that is linked to the start button that fires up the engine. Ordinarily, you couldn't start the car without a key. Again, you don't actually start the car, the key does. The key is the important factor to the entire process of unlocking and starting the car. You see, when you look at the name of Jesus from this standpoint, it's the same way. In other words, I'm not the one who's driving out demons in that name, who's causing the Father to hear me. No, the key is in the name, the authority associated with that name, the name of Jesus. You see, this is so important for us to understand. We have to pray in the name of Jesus because it is ultimately the key that brings God onto the scene of our prayers. My friends, I hope you've been blessed by this teaching. I hope that you'll continue to pray in this Bible model.
Thank you for listening today. If you were blessed by this message, consider how you can get involved and join hands with us in winning rural Africa for Jesus. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at gospelharvest.co.za for more information or sermons like this one.